Good morning, and welcome to you and the radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, either favorable or unfavorable, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. East Albertville is one word. Again, that address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. Also, we'd like to remind you that tonight is the final night of our series of Bible lessons that's been going on since this past Sunday. At 7 o'clock tonight, Brother Tim Sutton will bring the last lesson in this series of studies. We'd like for you to come and to be with us tonight. At 7 o'clock, come, bring your Bibles. We won't embarrass you. We won't intimidate you. We won't ask you for your money. We just simply ask you to come to receive this cordial invitation to come and hear and observe the things that are said and done. Compare that with your Bible and accept only what you find upon the pages of God's Word. So keep this in mind, and if you've not come in the meeting so far, tonight will be this last opportunity that you'll have for this series of meetings with Tim Sutton during the speaking. We've been talking about the family. We've been talking about the fathers. In our study today, let's look at the mothers. We want to look at special recognition of two women that we read about in the scriptures. One is that of an example of a wicked woman, Herodias, who was the wife of Herod. To find a little bit about her background, we go to the book of Matthew. And in Matthew chapter 14, here's what we read, beginning with verse 1. And at that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus and said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He's risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him." For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had said to him, "It's not lawful for you to have her." And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Therefore he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. So she, having been prompted by her mother, said, "Give me John the Baptist's head here on a platter." And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, because of the oath and because of those who sat with him, he commanded it to be given her. So he went and had John beheaded in prison. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. We see that Herodias had been the wife of Herod's brother, Philip. And thus now, being married to Herod, she is an adulterer. She influences her daughter, Salome, to do wickedness, and they team up together to have John the Baptist killed. So, what is the lesson that we see here? Well, Herodias set a poor example with regards to marriage and with regards to fidelity. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 19 and verse 9, "But I say unto you, whosoever shall divorce his wife, except it be for the cause of fornication, and marries another, commits adultery. And whoso marries her that is divorced, commits adultery." Hebrews 13 and verse 4 says that marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So she set a poor example in regards to marriage and fidelity. She also taught her daughter a very perverted picture of what it is to be female. She taught her to use her God-given blessings as a curse. She ignored what we read in Titus 2 and verse 4, that older women are to teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. That word discreet means discipline, self-controlled. The word chaste that's here in Titus 2 and verse 4 means pure, modest, holy. Keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Should you not teach your daughter to have proper regard for morals? She encouraged her daughter to engage in immoral dress and actions. It's sad to see much of that very thing occurring today, isn't it? You look around you this summer at how many young girls dress. Mothers teach their daughters about modesty. We're told in 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10, that to dress modestly with shamefacedness and sobriety, and that is what we do in order to profess godliness with good works. And there are dangers that are involved in immodesty. Mothers need to teach their daughters about immorality, about impurity, and about sensuality, because in Galatians 5 and verse 19, we're told that these are the works of the flesh, and they that do such things cannot enter the kingdom of God. Mothers need to teach their children why they need to be concerned with how they dress, how they move, and how they act. But also, Herodias showed no regard for the soul of her daughter. She taught her to live for the here and the now. But in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, we're told, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. See, Herodias was a selfish mother who saw her daughter as a tool to manipulate for her own end. Is there any chance that the daughter of Herodias would say what was said of the worthy mother that we read about in Proverbs 31, where the virtuous woman is being spoken of, and particularly there in verse 30, where it says that favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. How can mothers use children for selfish and ungodly purposes? So see, it's no wonder that the daughter of Herodias was herself wicked. But then we have an example of a godly mother, and that is in the case of Lois and Eunice. We read about them over in the book of 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, we notice in chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul said, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, that is Timothy, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also. Over in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, here's what we read of them in verse 15. It said that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And of course, it's in the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, that we read that Timothy was one of Paul's traveling companions when he went preaching the gospel throughout the world. And in chapter 16 and verse 1, we find that when he came to Derbe in Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. Here's the first introduction that we have made of Timothy. But we would have never had that introduction made of him joining Paul in his travels if it were not for the influence of his mother and of his grandmother. So what's the lesson that we have here? Well, these two women show the power of a woman's influence. Godliness was passed on through three generations, the grandmother, the mother, and now the son. Lois was faithful to God. She passed on that faith to her daughter, Eunice, who influenced her son, Timothy, to follow God. See, we need to recognize the power of positive training. In Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. In Proverbs 1 and verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." In Proverbs 6 and in verse 20, "My son, keep thy father's commandments, and forsake not the law of thy mother." You see, no greater gift that a mother can give to a child than the knowledge of the Bible, upon which they can base their genuine faith. You know, such teaching, when it's coupled with a godly example, produces the kind of results that we see in Timothy. But also, these women recognize the privilege of motherhood. Remember in Genesis 4 and verse 1 that Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." See, Eve recognized the privilege that it was to give birth. In John 16 and verse 21, "A woman, when she was in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world." In Proverbs 127 and verse 3, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Another thing that we see in these godly women is that such mothers, such women of these kind, are easy to give honor unto. You know, it's in Ephesians chapter 6 that we're told in verse 2, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." See, there's danger of mocking our parents and not honoring them. In Proverbs 15 and verse 20, "A wise son maketh a glad father, a foolish man despises his mother." In chapter 17 of Proverbs, verse 25, "A foolish son is grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him." In Proverbs 19, we read in verse 26, "He that wasteth his father and chasteneth away his mother is a son that causes shame and brings reproach." And in Proverbs 23 and verse 22, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." You know, there can be little doubt that Eunice, and if she was still living, Lois, were encouragers of Timothy in his work of preaching the gospel. Mothers should be willing to put God first and seek to dedicate her child to the service of the Lord. The godly mother will not be so much concerned about how much money their children make when they become adults as how faithful it is that they'll be to the Lord and what service that they will provide him. In a small children's Bible class, the teacher asked the question, "Who is the light of the world?" To which a small boy said with a loud voice, "My mother is." Well, while we know that Jesus is the true light of the world, a mother can be a light which will lead her children to Christ. To be a great mother, look at what those letters of that word means. Mother, M, marry the right man. O, obey the gospel. T, train your children to love God. H, honor your parents. E, enjoy being a Christian. R, request God's wisdom. Our time is up. Come to the services tonight at East Albertville Church of Christ at 7 o'clock for the last of the gospel meeting. Tune in again tomorrow, and it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.